Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Lucinda, and I have here with me my co-host, Boyd. We have a special guest tonight, and we have Dr. John Telford with us. He was on our show last year, and we've brought him back again this year. He has another book out, and it's called What Old Men Know. John says it's a definitive dictionary and almanac of advice, an innovatively different kind of reference book. And we're going to let John talk about that in just a few minutes. But let me go ahead and welcome Boyd to the show.
Yeah, thanks, everyone, for joining the show tonight like you usually do on Wednesday night. And we thank you for logging in. And we had, like the wife said, we had a special guest, Mr. John, with his new book out. And we're going to get right to the show, and we would just like to thank you for coming on, Mr. Telford, and you can go ahead and formally introduce yourself to the audience.
Well, thanks, Bob. This is Dr. John Telford. My books are A Life on the Run, Seeking and Safeguarding Social Justice, came out a year ago, and now the new one with a 2011 copyright, What Old Men Know. A definitive dictionary and almanac of advice that can be purchased at Barnes & Noble or on Amazon.com, and also from the publisher, HarmonyParkPress.com, www.HarmonyParkPress, that's H-A-R-M-O-N-I-E, HarmonyParkPress.com. My website is www.alifeontherun.com. Where some of my books are reviewed. The Detroit Free Press reviewed my book, and my first book, and a lot of folks have reviewed my second book, including Hanson Clark, who is a Detroit area congressman, and also another Michigan congressman, John Conyers, United States Congressman John Conyers. He's a longtime Michigan Democrat. And what he said about my newest book, What Old Men Know, is this satirical and memorably quotable new dictionary will delight all Democrats, with a small D and a capital D. It will also infuriate some Republicans, he says. But once they pick it up, neither Democrat nor Republican will put it down. And I'm pretty confident, and so is my publisher, that Congressman Conyers is right about that.
My man. So we just want to ask you, Mr. John, what brought that book on, and what made you write this book here?
Well, the first book is my life story, and I've led a kind of a checkered life. I've been an All-America athlete, and I've been a school superintendent, civil rights activism my whole life. But I also had some difficult times as a kid. I was incarcerated, and I was put out of Detroit Northwestern High School for fighting, and I had some difficulty in my young years, which I've discussed in A Life on the Run, in hopes that it can steer some young folks in a direction different than I was going in at that age. It hadn't been for track scholarship and being able to outrun some Olympic sprinters. I don't know what would have happened to me, but I did get down to Wayne State on tuition, books, room, and board, and the rest of it was kind of history. I wrote A Life on the Run, and now I've written What Old Men Know. And I'm having some fun with the Republicans in What Old Men Know. But there's also what Dr. Wayne Dyer calls timeless philosophy. Dr. Wayne Dyer, the world-renowned self-help author and lecturer, was one of my athletes. I coached him in high school. He's a pretty good high jumper. And he writes, pervasive wisdom, a must read. and hopefully everyone will read it.
Oh, man. So with that being said and done, what would you like for people to get out of this new book that you just wrote, and what would your strong message be in this book?
Well, there are several messages. One of them, of course, is, you know, the Bush administration has destroyed the country. And I make very savage fun of them, specifically Bush, Cheney, John Boehner, you know, all these guys, you know, who are totally for the oil companies, totally for the rich man. And they've got a lot of folks snowed. You know, some of these Tea Partiers are complaining about the Democrats, and yet the Democrats are trying to make their lives easier and more worthwhile, and not have them be stripped of everything they own. And you know, Dennis Archer has endorsed both of my books. He's a mayor of Detroit from 1994 to 2001. And he calls me the champion of the underdog, and I guess that's probably what I am. So another guy named Hugh Perkins, who's a Fox TV 2 anchor in Metro Detroit, calls me a rebel and a Renaissance man. And I think in one of the books he called me a radical, too. I'm not sure I'm a radical, but unless the United States Constitution is radical, you know, it was in 1776. So, you know, maybe it still is radical. I don't know.
Well, man. So we're definitely glad that you're shaking up the country with this new book out here, because it definitely can open up people's eyes that Obama didn't destroy the country. It was destroyed even before he got in office, you know. And sometimes I'm on Facebook and I see people make little comments, but when George Bush was in office messing up the country, sending troops over there for, you know, weapons of mass destruction and killing people, wasn't nobody saying nothing, you know.
Well, there wasn't any weapons of mass destruction. The whole thing was a lie. I mean, the man belongs in jail. You know, it's treason. You know, that's a traitor's act, a lie to the American people. That was a total lie. And as far as I'm concerned, Bush and Cheney both belong on death row. They don't belong in the lecture circuit.
Amen for that, you know. And we just want to say, you know, your students, have you talked to any of your old students since your new book came out?
Yeah, a few of them. Well, I talk to my new students all the time, you know, but the new book is just out. You know, my publisher was doing a TV spot all week, Christmas week. He had it on Channel 7 in Detroit 17 times. And hopefully that'll alert folks to the book. And there's a lot of timeless philosophy in the book. It isn't all just political satire. It's 300 some pages. It's a good sized dictionary, but it is a different kind of dictionary. Wayne Dyer wrote the introduction to What Old Men Know. I was very fortunate to have Dr. Wayne Dyer do that, and you know, he said some good things in the introduction about how everyone needs to read the book. I'm thumbing through it right now, trying to find his introduction. I found my foreword. I found my preface. You know, I got a cell phone in one hand, and I got the book in the other. But what he says, What Old Men Know is indeed a daringly definitive, but also a very different kind of dictionary. Yet, like a dictionary, one can read it from beginning to end, or from any part in the middle. It's, quote, old author. You know, I call myself an old author, you know, because I'm a Scot. My father was a Scot. It's old author has quirkily chosen to alphabetize prominent or timelessly famous and infamous people by their first names rather than their last, and setting their deeds and misdeeds in this definitive dictionary. He differentiates old men capitalized from mere old men not capitalized in conferring upon the former the august title Aged Sage. A veritable aged sage himself, he was my track coach in 1958 at Denby High School in Detroit, and I became his associate coach at Detroit Pershing High 8 years later. So, Since he's proclaimed me one of his aged sages, at least I can suggest that while over time I've hopefully acquired a modicum of sagacity, I'm not quite as aged as he is yet. Seriously, John Telford prodded me to pursue my doctorate, and he edited my dissertation. Much of what I have accomplished I owe to his mentorship, as do countless others whose lives he touched in his half century as an educator. I'm an old dude. I'm going to be 75 this month. He touched in his half century as an educator, which he recounts in his incendiary autobiography, A Life on the Run, Seeking and Safeguarding Social Justice. You will enjoy Dr. Telford's references to a reformative process he calls creative insubordination, which, by the way, is going to be my next book. You will also find that he loves to poke fun at the distaff side of the human equation, as well as at Republicans. Hence, as he would say, Republicans, check your Websters. At times, he gets rather graphically explicit. But this is still Wayne Dyer talking. At times, he gets rather graphically explicit about us oldsters failing bodily functions and perhaps a tad too cute when he makes sly implications regarding the size, or rather the implied lack thereof, of the private parts of male members of the GOP. Also, his blunt use of slang synonyms for reproductive or excretory organs in characterizing individuals whose politics differ from his may discomfort some readers. Still, the pervasive wisdom in this edgily amusing, frankly politically skewed, yet brilliantly philosophical treatise. Oh, I love that. I forgot you wrote some of this stuff. Brilliantly philosophical treatise makes it a must-read for those sages, semi-sages, or sages in training, young and old, male and female, Democrat and Republican, who hope for a fairer future for all humankind. So I'm hopeful that, you know, once somebody picks this book up, looks at Dr. Wayne Dyer's introduction, they will read Dr. John Telford's What Old Men Know. And in order to do that, they have to get to my publisher's website or to my website. My publisher's website is www.harmonyparkpress.com, and that harmony is spelled with an I-E, H-A-R-M-O-N-I-E, www.harmonyparkpress.com, or my website, www.alifeontherun.com. A Life on the Run, get the A in there, www.alifeontherun.com, or go to your closest Barnes & Noble and order it or get it on Amazon.
Amen. So I'm going to get a mic to the missus and let her ask you a few questions, Mr. John. And I just
want to say once again,
it's been a pleasure having you on the show tonight, and we thank God for his grace for allowing you to be on the show tonight.
Well, I'm privileged to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you again. We had a good time last time, even though we lost Rob partway through it, I think. But anyways, tell us a little bit more about, I mean, you say you were a rebel and you were, you know, I think, just an activist for the underdogs, you know, in the day in Detroit and in the schools and with the kids that you were teaching. Can you go back and talk a little bit about some things that happened then and what you were doing to help the kids?
Well, in A Life on the Run, which is my autobiography, I talk about, you know, I was the pioneer administrator for bringing in African-American administrators in some of the near and far suburbs of Detroit. And that was... That was an enterprise that wasn't always comfortable, because, you know, one night I got my house shot up in the middle of the night for doing that, and there were also folks who who were giving me death threats over the telephone and all that kind of thing. Eventually, we prevailed. It was difficult for a while. There were some community members who were calling for my scalp and almost got it, you know, at one point. In fact, they did get my scalp, you know, 15, 20 years later when I was superintendent in Madison. I was bringing in kids from Detroit then, too, and there were a whole bunch of white racists, you know, to call them, you know, by an accurate term. They ended up in channels 2, 4, and 7 protesting my doing this. You know, I almost couldn't believe it. I ended up on this program that Hill Perkins has called Let It Rip, and we kind of had it out. But I got fired. I eventually got fired. The board backed down, even though they knew what I was going to do. I was doing it partially to balance the budget. You know, we needed to get enrollment, open enrollment going. And in Madison, they weren't going to come from Grosse Pointe. You know, they were going to come from my hometown. You know, which is Detroit. And I brought in hundreds of kids from Detroit before the board got cold feet. Matter of fact, the kids that came in from Detroit. They were salutatorian, valedictorian, president of the student council, starting quarterback, football team won the conference championship, starting point guard and center, the basketball team won the conference championship, top sprinters, kid named Ryan Aaron won the state high jump with a jump of 6'10", and the track team won the conference championship. And all of this, and I had brought in some good coaches, really some great coaches, some who had been in Detroit. You know, another guy named Steve Rhodes who coached for me when I was the athletic director in Berkeley when we had a 25-1 team, you know, 1 year, 68-4 over 3 years. So, you know, the kids from Detroit gave a good account of themselves, and they were doing very well academically. But I think there was a boosters club there of white fathers who – I think we're a little uncomfortable with the fact that that their offspring, you know, weren't in some of the starting positions because the kids that I brought in from Detroit were such superb athletes that they bumped some of these kids, and that caused an underlying unhappiness among some of the parents too. A lot of interesting dynamics going on. It was a Madison District Public Schools in the year 2009. This goes to show, you know, that there's still an awful lot of work to be done in race relations, human rights, and the whole nine yards in that regard.
Right, and you're not teaching anymore. You're retired, correct? I know you taught.
I keep retiring and I keep coming back. You know, I don't seem to be able to stay retired for long. I'm 75 now, but I was actually when I was. In Detroit, I was the only retired school superintendent who dared to come back and teach in an inner city high school, and I was, you know, I was doing a Detroit Finney, you know, which was they called it the toughest high school in Detroit, and since Detroit may be the toughest high school, the toughest city in the country, Finney was the toughest high school
right.
in the country. We had kids, you know, who were having an awful lot of difficulty. There was a lot of violence. You know, one kid got killed in the school, you know, right outside my office, actually. And I was upstairs when that happened. And by the time I got down there, you know, we had to call the EMS, but it took them 45 minutes to get there. And it didn't really matter because he was already dead. I could tell that he was. There have just been some really severe problems in the Detroit schools and in urban schools all across the country. And again, you know, Detroit, of course, has had this whole trouble with its mayor. You know, the Kilpatrick administration. The fiscal and moral maggotry of that administration. And Kilpatrick was a talented guy, but he was tragically flawed. He was our mayor. He inflicted some real dishonor upon himself and his family and upon us. I'm a Detroiter, you know, I live in Detroit. I don't know, we're embarking on a fresh year now. And I'm hoping we can thank God that we have a mature mayor now, a civic-minded mayor, honest mayor. He got his hands full. Old basketball player named Dave Bing. But I think that we still need to reflect upon what's happened in the schools in recent years, what happened in Detroit, what happened in the city in recent years. You know, we're going on a fresh year, but, you know, recent years weren't so fresh, at least from an olfactory sense. And there's a new wind blowing in Detroit. I'm hoping we can turn things around because I'm frankly tired of having my city, you know, have the worst test scores in the country and the school district being a laughing stock and the city being a laughing stock. I'm getting tired of that. I mean, the football team just won 4 straight games, so maybe that's a harbinger of change. The Lions, you know, they were always everyone's whipping boy, and now they won 4 straight at the end of the season. So hopefully things will turn around for my hometown. God knows we need it to happen.
John, what do you think is the worst thing in the schools with the kids right now? Do you think it's has to do with racism, or is it the drugs and alcohol, or
Lucinda, it depends on what schools you're talking about. Now, so narrow that down a little bit. You know, what schools are you talking about? You're talking about Detroit, you're talking about Michigan, you're talking about nationally, what?
Just in Detroit.
Okay. Detroit's the worst problem. Well, yeah, my experiences are grassroots. I mean, I am the only school superintendent in the retired school superintendent in the United States, you know, who went
right.
back and taught in an inner city classroom.
Right.
The only one. You know, find me another one who did that. But so I've walked the walk. But what I see as the paramount problem is student safety. You've got to make sure the kids are safe, you know, before they feel comfortable enough to learn. Okay, so that's the number one problem. The number two problem is in attendance. There are probably about 20,000 kids in the city of Detroit who aren't going to any school anywhere because they are out of control, their grandmother or whoever's taking care of them, they just don't go to school. Or they'll go once a month, but they're not going to school. And if we don't get those kids, see, we need to hire a whole, and this is going to sound, you know, they're talking about sugarcoating this and trying to, you know, sweeten the pie. So no, just get some truant officers, round those kids up, get them into school. And if they're misbehaving, get them into special settings where they can get some help, because that is the third problem. The third problem is the behavior of a good, well, maybe 20, 25% of the kids. It's making the other 75, 80% of the kids unable to learn and the teachers unable to teach in most of the schools in Detroit. Now, there are a couple of schools like Cass and Renaissance where that's not the case, but in most of the schools, we have a severe behavior problem. We also have a severe situation in terms of a lot of the facilities not working. Swimming pools aren't working. They're only taking care of the elite schools. When I was at Finney, and I was there for 5 years, from 2003 to 2008, the swimming pool didn't work that whole time. So I went down to the school board, and of course I had a radio show too, and I do write the Tulvers Telescope column, the Michigan Chronicle. So I was using my radio show and I was using my newspaper column to criticize the school board because they not just the school board, the top administration, because they needed that to happen. You know, I went down to the school board and asked the school board, is Finney a public school? Are the kids at Finney public school students? They are. How about the kids over at Cass Tech? They are. Well, does the swimming pool at Cass Tech work? It does. Well, you know what? Swimming pool at Finney hasn't worked for 9 years. You have an explanation for that. See, this is classism. This is not racism. This is classism, you know, because you got, you know, black folks running the schools, you know, school board, top administrators. So it's a classist kind of situation, not a racist situation. But classism is just as bad as racism. My kids were being discriminated against, and I did not like it.
Right.
And it's still happening.
Okay, thank you. And do you think kids are safer at school now than they used to be?
I think they're more at risk than they've ever been.
Because of the gangs and drug violence and...
The whole nine yards, all of those things. And the fact that we're not taking care of them, we're not protecting them. You know, we're taking care of an elite few, but we're not protecting the many. We're not giving them the appropriate support. It's pervasive. I'm not just talking about Detroit. I mean, take a look at Chicago. You know, look at East L.A., look at Philadelphia, look at New York. I mean, the problems are similar in urban areas all throughout the country. We're abandoning entire generations. We're not educating them appropriately. We're educating them at all.
Well, and that goes back to the government taking away the federal funding for all these schools and school supplies and things that the kids need to be able to learn.
Yeah, well, And we can't wait for the feds to help us. We've got to help ourselves, and we're not doing
amen.
That.
And I say that all the time, Mr. Ted. And what we're going to do, we are having a great show tonight with Mr. Ted. We're going to go to a commercial and go to a song, and we'll be right back with Mr. Ted. Hold tight.
I knew I had hit rock bottom when I started shooting up. That was my lowest point because I just was, like, totally out of it. I wasn't even there no more. I was just gone. My name is Tanya. I am 15 years old. I am from Douglas, Arizona. I started using meth when I was 12. Basically, my life was totally destroyed. I mean, I had ran away from home, and so I didn't have nowhere to go. I wore the same clothes every day. Like, I only showered, like, maybe twice a week. I didn't have nothing left. I mean, nothing at all. I didn't even have no shoes on my feet. I thought I knew everything. I was like, you know, I'm not going to get addicted to this drug. It's not going to hurt me at all. I can control myself. But in the long run, it, you know, I couldn't control it. It's like meth, controlled me.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is B.O.Y.D. and Struggles coming straight at you, baby. Much love to my homeboys up in Detroit off Van Nuys Harbor. Much love goes out to my homeboys and Cincy that's always kept it real. And to your player haters, this goes out to you.
No need to look any further. Look like brother, what you thought? Boy, Rick is knocking you out like Robert Tussin does it go. Made you pull up with this northern exposure. Smoking Doja, and I'm coming on the real. Yes, the real, I thought I told you. And I'm keeping it to your bloodstream just like HIV. Stand away from all them player hating people with degrees. It's time to come up. Why do you bet not, brother? Because you put your faith and your prayers into another man's head. That move is bogus. Struggle's here to let you know this. That you never ever be a part of the dope. Who put your faith in the spot? Who cooled it off when it was hot? Who made it live when it was? Now you can't even speak it. It's time to nut check. Time for respect. Time to break necks. You wanted out for family. Now it's time for you to check. And you chasing waterfalls. It wasn't meant, fool. In other words, you played yourself. Now who's cool? Hey, girl, you played yourself. No, you played yourself. Hey, girl, you played yourself. You played yourself. Hey, girl, you played yourself. Wait a minute. You played yourself. Because you didn't play the cards that was dealt. Partner, you played yourself. Trying to engage yourself with some people who didn't have no freaking wealth. So hide your health. Ain't nothing good gonna come out your freaking game. Cause everything you do bad gonna come back twice the pain. Who's to blame? Listen to the black rain. About to shake the ground for all you backstabbing people in this town. I'm known to bring the anger, make you hiss like a snake. Here's a hint from my partner.
Break it down in your face.
Hey, yo, I'm making it back up in you two. Dissect you like a chemist. You played yourself, and I was a witness. Your career is finished. Don't be misled by the words that I speak. I keep it real. You had a taste of both sides. Not how it feels.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
No, you played yourself.
I said you played yourself.
You played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
Wait a minute. You played yourself. Cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
You can be as good as the best of them and bad as the worst of them, but don't test me, brother. No, brother, don't test me, no.
You be like that Benedict on the backstabbing brother behind my back. But in my face, you be like Struggle, yo. Where the party at? I be like push on. Get on, get out my face, partner. Cause ain't no love lost, it ain't no love here neither. I can't believe that you betrayed me. Took food from my baby, but you have been acting kind of shady lately. So I got to push you to the curb, fly away like a bird. Partner, you need to stop smoking all that herb. If you would've came to me, Imano, Imano, we would've squashed it at the gate. But you chose to segregate. Play a hate, get it straight. Why you played yourself? No, you played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
You played yourself.
You played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself. Cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt. Brother, relax your mind and let your conscience be free. Get down to the sounds of struggle in our beat. Your negativity be scratching against my surface. Cause the things that I did for you, your ass can deserve it. Now I'm on some payback for the things you did like way back. Answering all your questions like my name was Bat Sajak. Jesus had 12 disciples and one wasn't true. And he knew, like I knew, I never ever should to mess with you, so I'm gonna do what I gotta do and then some. If a brother try to flex, I take his life for ransom. Even when I'm by myself, I roll with a crew of soldiers, sick as flu with those. Known to turn your body black and blue, I told you, why did you test me? I'm the one who put you on, see if it wasn't for me, you'd be like a mobile phone or wrong cheek. It ain't no me and us, it ain't no he and we. I thought we would be together like OJ and AC. You were that brother I pull a trigger for, you a freaking beard for. Now you just that off-brand nigga, you played yourself. No, I said you played yourself. Hey, yo, you played yourself.
My partner, you played yourself.
Hey, look, you played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself. Cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
You can be as good as the best of them and bad as the worst of them. But don't test me, brother. No, brother, don't test me, no.
Why did you test me in this game, player? I told you don't ever tempt me. But now I gotta come at you for real now. You should have kept it real. But when you don't keep it real, situations sometimes get hectic in your life. But you should have understood. So why did you play yourself, player? I look at you all the time when you don't think I see you. I see you. Our boys up north, baby. We got our own way of dealing with player haters.
Come on. Bring it in. Bring it in. Come on.
And I don't think you should ever deal with you.
Hey, hey, and welcome right back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show with my man, Mr. Jeff, out of Detroit, Michigan. And we back live, living in color. And we just wanted Mr. Jeff to, if people wanted to buy the book, give them information again, Mr. Jeff.
More than happy to. Title of the book is A Life on the Run. It's about my running and my romance as I was out running Olympic champions, you know, 50 years ago. But it's also about my social activism. Wayne State named me. It's a Distinguished Alumnus of the Year for Civil Rights Activism. And I wrote about it. You know, a whole bunch of pictures in the book. You know, it's a good read, I'm told. On the front cover, the mayor of Detroit, former mayor, Dennis Archer, great man, by the way. There's just one word. He's quoted as saying the book is spellbinding. And this is my life story. You know, the back of the book has got some pretty good quotes to Keith Johnson, the president of the Detroit Federation of Teachers, says the sensational saga of a visionary civil rights crusader, Spencer Haywood, great basketball player, also my high jumper at Pershing, says, Coach Telford has led a life of which legends are made. And, you know, some other good quotes. Hugh Perkins says Dr. John Telford is a rebel, a renegade, and a Renaissance man. He began his journey as a champion sprinter, but found his true calling as a champion of equal education for all. This is a tough and honest account of his life and his mission to save three generations of students. You'll find tears, laughter, and inspiration on every chapter. And also, I hope you'll find some enlightening things about urban education and what needs to happen in order to get urban education back on the track where it belongs. Now, the other book is at the same publisher, harmonyparkpress.com, and it's What Old Men Know. And I talk a lot in What Old Men Know about some philosophical things, but there's also humor. There's also a lot of fun that I make at Republicans, and I think they can take it. You know, I mean, you know, we're all Americans. You know, all in good fun. You know, it's not all in good fun, though. I got to be honest. You know, some of it is is pretty sad. In fact, you know, Dr. Robert T. Samaras. I'm looking at his blurb about the book, and it's interesting. He's a retired professor of education. He says, if one is able to disregard some of its scathingly hilarious and not always entirely tongue-in-cheek vitriol and scatology aimed at Republicans, one will discern immediately that What Old Men Know is far more than a satirically definitive dictionary. It is a cautionary and socially definitive masterpiece, that our nation's beleaguered leaders, Democrats and Republicans alike, need to heed and to read from cover to cover. That's Dr. Robert T. Samaras, retired professor of education at Detroit's Wayne State University. I've got a lot of local folks who've written things about the book. Here's another fellow. He's a very fine poet, Alfred Harris. He's a Detroit poet and philosopher. He writes, Dr. John Telford redefines the linguistics of the day humorously and bluntly while advancing the imperiled cause of universal human rights. His unique perspective on life, passion, politics, psychology, parapsychology, I've got some of the super normal in there, parapsychology, education, ecology, sociology, and other elements within the human experience is courageous and full of wit. He is an inspirational spirit I respect as a man, a fellow writer, a refreshingly original and creative thinker, and a fearless fighter for all humanity. All members of both political parties, or no political party, who care about our earthly survival need to own, read, and refer to this spellbinding book. Now, I love that word spellbinding because it's the same word that Archer used for the other book. But, you know, I've been trying to weave a spell, you know, a positive spell. Hopefully once you pick either one of these books up, you won't put them down. That's the whole idea.
My man, you know. Well, we definitely appreciate that, you know. And we just want to say, since you done retired again, what you going to do now? You going to just promote your books and do your book tour?
I'm on some boards, Robert. I'm on some boards. I'm on the Team for Justice board. I'm on the Antonio Gates Foundation board. In fact, I'm president of that board. And I'm vice president of the Team for Justice board. I'm on the Detroit Track Old Timers board. I'm on some philanthropic boards, and I'm also working on my fourth book. Which is titled Creative Subordination. But I've barely started on that one. I used to use that title when I put on some seminars on creative subordination. I used to deliver those seminars to teachers, and every now and then an administrator would sneak in. And I could always tell the administrators by the looks on their faces, because I used to make them kind of uncomfortable with some of my items in my presentation on creative insubordination.
That sounds like a winner right there, you know. So if somebody would like to...
Never did put in a book. So that's what I'm going to do now. It's going into a book.
Yeah. So if somebody would like to get in touch with you concerning your book or would like you to speak somewhere, where would they be able to contact
you?
Well,
I can give you a cell phone where they can reach me. I don't have any problem giving it. It's 313-460-8272, 313-460-8272, and they can also reach me via my website, which is www.alifeontherun.com, or through my publisher, who is Harmony Park Press at AOL.com, and the phone number for Harmony Park Press is 586-979-2077. And again, my own cell phone is 313-460-8272, and I can be reached also at my headquarters at 8900 East Jefferson, Suite 624. I can be reached via mail that way, 8900 East Jefferson, Suite 624, Detroit, Michigan, 48214.
My man, that sounds like a winner, you know. And I'm going to pass the mic back over to the missus. And we just definitely appreciate you coming back on tonight.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me. I really do.
Thanks. John, what would be maybe the greatest thing that you've learned as an educator over the years? And then what would be maybe the hardest thing that you've had to learn?
Oh, the greatest thing I think I learned is that all kids can learn. You know, that's number one. That there isn't any kid who can't learn. And also, it kind of humbled me. But when I was a track coach at Finney High and Southeastern High and Pershing High and King High and Southwestern, a lot of times I told my kids, you know, I want you to win the state championship. And I have to confess that when I, you know, told the kid I wanted him to do this, I wasn't 100% sure he could, you know, because, you know, winning a city or state championship is not the easiest thing in the world. But, you know, those kids did it, you know. So what, you know, what I have learned is that, You know, if you have a high expectation for your kid and set the expectation high, and he believes that you believe that he can do it, he very well may do it.
Right. It's just the same as you telling the kid constantly that you're stupid and you can't do it. They believe that as well.
Precisely. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, I believe in my kids. I do believe in my kids. It's limitless. If they decide they're going to, and you know, my own life story is a case in point. My coach at Wayne State told me that it was his expectation that I would beat the Olympic champion, and so since I figured that he figured that I could do it, I did it. In fact, I beat more than one Olympic champion, you know, it sounds kind of a simple statement, but, you know, it's not the easiest thing in the world. You know, a lot of training goes into it and, you know, incredible pain the last 50 meters of a 400-meter run. But the basic thing is if you believe in a kid and the kid knows that you believe in him, he's going to accomplish miracles.
Right. Yeah, and it sounds like you've touched a lot of people during your years of educating.
I'm in touch with all my kids. I'm in touch with kids from the 1950s to the 2000s, you know, and they still
awesome.
Come and see me.
That's awesome. What would you tell, and what do you tell the kids today to be able to continue their education and stay off the streets and things like that?
Well, Nothing comes easy, is what I tell them. You have to work for what you get, and there isn't any shortcut. No matter how talented you are, you know, talent is worth very little without putting the hard work behind it too.
Right. And with you, now you were still teaching last year, weren't you? Or you? You go back in and substitute, or how
I've
do you
been,
do that?
I was superintendent. The last job I had, I was superintendent of schools in the Madison District Public Schools. That's when they hired me fired me. You know, they fired me for bringing
okay.
in the Detroit kids. You know, hundreds of Detroit kids. I brought a whole bunch of
right.
Detroit kids in. And the board, you know, the board knew what I was going to do. I told them I was going to do it. See, what happened was that they got cold feet when a whole bunch of racists converged on a town hall meeting and scared the liver out of them. You know, they were going to egg their cars and break their windows and everything else. And that board had to live there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost could understand, you know, them finally firing me. But wasn't the first time I've run into that kind of difficulty. You know, I go way back in the 70s in the Vietnam War. You know, I was in trouble when I brought the Black Panthers into Macomb College to speak when I was an administrator there. But you know, it's been an exciting run. You know, your listeners got to read A Life on the Run. It's really worth
right.
a read. John Conyers gave it to Obama. I understand Obama's got the book, and Hanson Clark, Congressman Clark, says he's going to give the other one, What Old Men Know, to Obama. I can't wait for the Democrats to get a hold of What Old Men Know. You know, but I almost can't wait even more for the Republicans to get a hold of it, you know, because even though they're not going to like what's in it, they will read it. They will
right.
most definitely read it. Yep.
Well, I can't wait to read it. Can you give us like a little sneak preview of a few sentences or anything?
You know, it's kind of hard to do with a dictionary, and I'm holding the thing in my hand, you know, and... well, here, endangered species, you know, definition of endangered species. The magnificent Siberian tiger, the American eagle, the mountain gorilla, and presently the so-called, quote, civilized gorilla, Homo sapiens, if we don't get our act together pretty soon. To cite just one example, we must stop polluting our seas and coasts with mammoth oil spills. Yeah, I wrote this right at the time, you know, that the Gulf
right.
of Mexico is totally inundated with oil. That's probably not a real good example. But it's eclectic. It's eclectic. Here's a Lost Worlds, you know, See Old Men's Childhoods and Yesteryears of Youth. Love, noun, the morning and the evening star. That metaphor comes courtesy of Burt Lancaster in the title role of the great 1960 film Elmer Gantry, based on the Sinclair Lewis novel. True romantic love is something you can't purchase with money because it's not for sale. To be truly loved is the greatest boon, bar none, in all of Christendom, in all of pagandom, in all of Islam, and all of every other realm beyond. But you can express love with money. This is true even when you don't know you're spending the money, as many old men like me will ruefully acknowledge. I'm married to a very young wife, with whom I'm having some difficulty now, by the way. As the Muppets' practical porker, Miss Piggy, opined, when you love someone, you want to be near him all the time, except when you are out buying things and charging them to him. Also, it must be noted, as the aged sage and great playwright Plautus wrote 2,000 years ago, love is that entity which first devised the torturer's profession. So that's, you know, that's just one of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of definitions in this book. Some of them quotes, most of them original definitions with yours truly here.
Well, it sure sounds interesting.
You'll love this book. I mean, you really will.
I really can't wait to read it. Right. Well, I'm going to hand the mic back to Rob for a minute.
Okay.
Yes, we definitely want to just say we've been having a great time here with Mr. Tiffin, and we would like to say any last shout-outs or any last information you would like to give the audience, Mr. Tiffin.
Well, just that the book itself, even though it's got a lot of humor and a lot of satire against the Republicans, particularly, it has an underlining, very sober and somber message for humanity. And there are many folks who have reputations far greater than mine who are on the back cover saying that this is a book that you've got to read. Dr. Carl Wagner, for example, says, self-styled old author Telford's Pithy Almanac is electrifying. Jeffrey Feiger, Dr. Jack Kevorkian's celebrated trial lawyer, says use the word inspiring. Detroit Free Press says sensational. And there are some other comments here. Dr. Stuart Kirschenbaum, you know, Michigan Boxing Commissioner, he was a boxer, by the way. My father was a pro. I never was a pro, but he says Dr. Telford is an old icon, the boxing commissioner says. And Tom Watkins, the Michigan's former superintendent of public instruction, says Telford's linguistic style is hypnotic. I kind of like that word. So I guess I'll end on that note. But anyway, ask your readers to Google my website, www.alifeontherun.com, because they'll see stuff about both of my books on my website and how to get them. www.alifeontherun.com.
All right. So we're gonna pass the mic I'm gonna say our last sentences tonight, you know, and we would like for everybody to join our movement, and we'd like to say Happy New Year to everyone who have not heard it, and we ask you to log on to www.thestreetsdon'tloveyoubackneem.com, and we're asking you to be on the lookout for my wife's new book coming out very soon, The Melting Pot, Corruption. And my book is coming out soon, Never Hit a Woman. And we're just asking everybody to have a safe and enjoyable night. And we're glad that Mr. Tilford had time to come on and share his message and share his new book with us tonight. And once again, we ask you to stay involved with the movement and stay listening to the show every Wednesday. And once again, thank you, Mr. Tilford, for coming on the show tonight.
Enjoyed it tremendously. Many thanks.
All right. So we're going to go out tonight with our last song, and it's called Change.
Yeah. LD. You know, far too often we look back in hindsight and wish, say, I wish I just had one more chance.
Jealous of others. Do for your damn self.